You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, a Savior. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin this morning by sharing with you the true story about our daughter Sophie's birth. But before I do that, you have to first understand that I sometimes don't do well in medical situations, and this is definitely a medical situation. There's a lot of blood. I don't do well with needles either, but there I was trying to be fully present as our fourth child was about to be born into this world. And because I had been through this several times before with mixed results, I was already somewhat anxious about what might happen. Not with Perrin, but with me. In fact, I'd even tried to build up my tolerance to the whole thing by watching this program on the Learning Channel at the time called Maternity Ward for months of Monday nights leading up to all of this. But it didn't help. I held out as long as I could, but nevertheless ended up on the floor. The nurse who took my place by Perrin's side asked, Mr. Murray, do you still want to cut the cord? I said, I can't. And I couldn't. I mean, I just knew that if I stood up, I would faint. So there I was, lying on a cold, hard hospital room floor with my feet up in a chair and a cold, wet washcloth over my face, wanting nothing more than to stand by my wife's side as our fourth child came into the world, but there was no way. I simply could not get up. I was, you could say, in complete bondage to my human condition. And I begin with that this morning because in our epistle lesson today, the Apostle Paul is describing the universal human condition of being in bondage to our sinful nature, and is furthermore describing the battle that exists for every Christian who longs to fulfill the laws of God but can't. I do not understand my own actions, he says, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And it's helpful, I think, to remember here that this is after Paul's life-changing conversion. This is coming from the mouth of a God-fearing, born-again, Spirit-filled believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, no less, author of a good portion of the New Testament. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Have you ever felt like that? Because the scriptures teach us that the more we struggle with being in bondage to our sinful nature, the closer we are to God. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And this is really the first point of today's sermon, that the more we see ourselves as sinners, as those who are actually in bondage to sin, the better able we are to recognize Jesus as our Savior, and the better able we are to recognize Jesus as our Savior, the more the Christian gospel can grow in our hearts and transform our lives. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. The addict, and this includes alcoholics, drug addicts, you name it. The addict is an example of someone who can identify. with these words. And let's be clear, the addict's problem isn't willpower. In fact, if you think about it, it's often only through sheer willpower that many addicts are able to feed their habit. And until the process of recovery has begun, the addict is in complete bondage to do the very thing they may not want to do, and is simply incapable of doing that which they may want to do. This is why the first step toward recovery is admitting that you are powerless, and save an intervention from the Almighty that you have no hope. Not dig deep down within yourself and pull yourself out through your own willpower. The first step is admitting that you are in complete bondage to do the very thing that you don't want to do. And this is the way that it is for all of us with respect toward growing in holiness. I mean, you would think that after years of pursuing Jesus, that we'd get to the point where our conscience was cleared and we began to see our condition improving. When what actually happens is the deeper we go with Christ, the more we discover just how bad our condition really is. Because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sin, to reveal to us our shortcomings. When the Apostle Paul wrote, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" When Paul wrote that, he was close to Jesus, not distant. And it is indeed, I think, a great paradox that the more we see ourselves as sinners, the more our lives can be transformed into God's likeness by His grace and mercy and in the power of His Holy Spirit. The very purpose of our lives is to bring glory to God, and we can't do that enslaved to sin and the things of this world. We just can't. The really sad thing is that so many people walk around in darkness and aren't even aware of the bondage that they're in. In fact, they get further and further immersed in bondage in their quest for freedom, because they look for freedom in the things of this world, which only leads to more bondage. I mean, how many people have fallen into the bondage of materialism as they've sought after financial freedom? How many people have fallen into the bondage of sexual immorality as they've pursued sexual freedom? Think about it. We get it backwards when we look for freedom in the things of this world, because it's when we look for freedom in the things of this world that we become enslaved to the things of this world. Yet it is when, in response to God's great love for us, we dedicate ourselves to pursuing Jesus and His righteousness that we find true freedom and the peace of God, which passes understanding. And that leads to the second point of this sermon. Point one, the more we see ourselves as sinners, as those who are actually in bondage to sin, the better able we are to recognize Jesus as our Savior, and the better able we are to recognize Jesus as our Savior, the easier it is for the Christian gospel to grow in our hearts and transform our lives. Point two, freedom doesn't give us license to do what we want to do, but opportunity to do what we ought to do. That's a quote from John Paul II. Freedom doesn't give us license to do what we want to do, but opportunity to do what we ought to do. Like St. Paul said, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. This weekend, we celebrate our independence as a nation, our freedom. And certainly, we would all agree that the liberties we enjoy as Americans are expensive. And we are therefore appropriately grateful for those who have made them possible and those who continue to defend them today, those who make it possible for us to be free. But there is a difference between our civil freedom and our spiritual freedom. Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." What is Paul talking about here? What does he mean, a yoke of slavery? Because best I can tell, he isn't talking about escape from the taxes and tyranny of English royalty, like the first Americans, nor is he talking about freedom of expression, or freedom basically as an entitlement to do whatever the heck you want to do, so long as it isn't bothering someone else, like many Americans are misled to interpret freedom today. So what is he talking about? Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Well, remember, Paul was one of those who had tried to earn God's approval by putting himself under the yoke of religious rules and behaviors. Before his conversion, Paul pursued godly living not as an expression of his gratitude for God's grace, but as a means of earning God's approval. It's the spirit of the thing, really. It's what St. Augustine meant in saying, "Love God and do as you wish." It's the difference between having to and wanting to. Because having to gets heavy after a while, does it not? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Do you ever struggle with doing what you ought not to do, not doing what you ought to do? As we say in our confession, things done and things left undone. Because if so, be encouraged that struggle is the beginning point for meaningful discipleship. And realize that spiritual freedom is different from civil freedom. Jesus says that if we take his yoke upon us and learn from him, that we'll find rest for our souls. We have to understand that Jesus didn't love us all the way to the cross to gain God's approval or favor, but because he already had it. "This is my son, my beloved," the voice from heaven said at Jesus' baptism. "With him, I am well pleased." So to learn from Jesus and to find rest for our souls is to realize that we too are the beloved of God. And when we begin to see ourselves in that light, loving God with all of our heart and loving our neighbors as ourselves, all of that will come easier. For we won't be doing so to gain God's approval or favor, but because we understand that we already have it through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.